Young lady was home from college on spring break, and she was there at home when she noticed a young fella. She thought she recognized him from high school, and he was coming up to her house. She hadn't seen him in years, so she was a little surprised to see him there. And when he knocked on the door, she came to the door, and she said, I think I had class with you in high school. I'm surprised. What are you doing here? And he stammered around a little bit. And he finally got up his nerve, and he said, I know we haven't seen each other for a while, but I've never forgotten you from that class or two that we took back in school. You've been on my mind lately, and I must confess, I think I'm in love with you. The young lady sighed heavily, and she said, look, we weren't all that close in school. We just had a couple of classes together. You don't even know me that well. There's no way you could really be in love with me. Now, my sister's coming home right after me. She's the pretty one in the family. Wait out front on the porch swing and just wait. She'll be here any minute when you see her. She's the one you'll fall for. So the guy dutifully waited there on the porch and swing. Sure enough, another young woman pulled up in the driveway, got out of the car, came up the front steps and went inside. Trouble was, this young woman was nothing to look at all. In fact, the young man just didn't find her attractive. And kind of upset him. So he went back to the front door, knocked on the door until the first young lady reappeared. Immediately, he started in. He said, you know I wouldn't be interested in your sister. So why did you lie to me like that? The young lady just shrugged and said, you're the one who was lying. If you're in love with me, why'd you hang around looking for her? I'm afraid, I heard an old lordy on that one instead. I'm afraid that may be the problem with many of those in the modern church. So many people talk about their love for Jesus Christ, but they just keep going back to the things of the world. Remember, Jesus talked about that there are people who want to appear righteous in the eyes of others. They'll proclaim their allegiance to Christ, may even come to church, pretend to be followers. But they don't believe it's necessary to really repent of their sins, call on the name of Jesus Christ. They're unwilling to stand up for their faith. They will tell you they don't see any need for forgiveness. The Bible says there's no other way to come to God than by simple repentance and faith. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. There's only one way to come to God, and it's through the open door of faith. Jesus made that way of salvation. He purchased it for us. He did that when he died the death that we deserved as sinners. He died in our place. He was buried in the tomb that was reserved for us. But praise God, he did that because we could not overcome death, but as God, he could. And he did. Death couldn't hold him. The Bible says he did it all for our redemption. Came up from the grave so that we could too. And that's the title of this morning's message. It's the question I have for you today. Are you up and coming? Well, there are only two choices, you see, because if you aren't up and coming, then you're going down. And here's how you can know the difference. First of all, you can only be up and coming if you're going through the open door. We're going to look at one verse of Scripture. It's Revelation chapter 4, verse 1. This is, after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. In the first three chapters of the book of the Revelation, John makes it plain the entire book's written for the benefit of the church. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book. Send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And then in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19, he said, write the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. In this book, Jesus is telling his church to be fully aware not only of the things that have happened that are recorded for us in the past, are only the things that we are experiencing during our lifetime here. He wants us to be fully informed of his purposes, even if he tarries long after we're gone from this place. Remember what Jesus said in John 15, 13 through 15. He said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I've made known to you." Jesus wants you to know, but guess what? Jesus didn't come to this earth to form a secret society of adepts. He didn't come walk upon this earth to make followers who would be set apart from the world by knowing a secret code or a secret handshake or keeping secret meetings or secrets from the world. Jesus taught publicly to the masses of people that surrounded him. His word's an open book to whosoever comes to him for spiritual food and drink. It's open. Remember what Jesus told the high priest when he was on trial, asked about his teaching. In John 18, 20, Jesus said, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where the Jews always meet. And in secret I've said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." You see there? In his day, Jesus said, "You don't need to call any more witnesses." Oh, well, I'm sorry. I got to quit that. Jesus said, "I was very open in what I taught. I didn't do anything in secret." Remember what Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. He said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. What you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." As I said, Jesus' teaching, his ministry, his messages, the messages that are preached in his name today are not for the privileged few who are somehow gifted or adept. Jesus singled out not the best and the brightest, not the privileged few. Jesus came for the last, the least, and the lost, the marginalized, and the oppressed. Jesus didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners like us to repentance and faith. Jesus didn't come to make good people better. He came to make sick people well. He came to make bad people God's people. He came to make dead people live. That's who Jesus came for. And that's why in 2 Corinthians 5:17 he says, "Therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Jesus is the open door of heaven. Remember what he told the church in Philadelphia. Just flip the page or look back at Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. Speaking to the church at Philadelphia, he said, "I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word and have not denied my name." Jesus told the Philadelphian Christians that he was God's open door. The door that God himself had set before them. He told that church God had given them the keys to the kingdom of heaven. That's our calling still today in the 21st century, church. We're called out of the world to be calling people out of the world. We're to spend our lives calling all people, boys and girls, men and women, black and white, people of every nation, tribe and tongue need to hear there's a way out of here. There's a way of forgiveness. There's a way of peace. There's a way of joy. There's a way of purpose. There's a way of life everlasting and free. We're here to be heralds of the good news of God's grace, to proclaim God's provided this way out of death. We're here to proclaim that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his open door to everlasting life. In John chapter 10, verses 7 through 9, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't hear them. I'm the door. If anyone enters by me, he'll be saved. Go in and out, find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, to kill and destroy. I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Young people, that's the way God has set before you. It's the way of life. It's the way of hope, healing, purpose. The thief is constantly setting things before you that he knows will destroy and ultimately kill you. Don't go there. You know better. You know better. First of all, you can only be up and coming by going through the open door. Secondly, you can only be up and coming by listening for that trumpet voice. He says, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me. That voice. He's talking about that voice. That voice that thunders like a booming trumpet is the same voice that spoke to Abraham in the land of Ur and Haran in Genesis 12:1, saying, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. It required faith and following. It's the same voice that called out of a burning bush in Exodus 3:5, saying, take your sandals off your feet, Moses, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. It's the same still, small voice that spoke to Elijah on Mount Horeb in 1 Kings 19:18 and said, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal. It was the same voice that was heard when Jesus cried out in John 11:43, Lazarus, come forth! And told the dying thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. Amen. Do you know that voice? Have you heard the voice? If not, you'll not be coming up when he returns. Because of what Jesus himself said in John chapter 5, verses 24 through 29. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he's granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice, and come forth, those who've done good, to the resurrection of life, and those who've done evil, to the resurrection of condemnation. Have you heard that voice? You want to hear that first call now, don't you? That first call. It's the call when he's calling you to salvation, to come to him. And I ask you the question, because if you've not heard and responded to his voice, you can't be saved. In John 10, 27 through 30, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Amen. I and my Father are one. Can I get a witness? Amen. What a God. What a Christ. What a Savior. What a promise. Amen. That no one can take us out of his hand. Amen. Revelation chapter 1 verses 9 and 10. John was speaking again. He said, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. First of all, you can only be up and coming by going through the open door. Secondly, you can only be up and coming by listening and hearing that trumpet voice. Finally, you can only be up and coming by watching for things after this. Look at the last part of Revelation chapter 4, 1. That voice speaking with me saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. The things which must take place after this are the things for which we are to be watching. We are to be watching. We are to be fixed on it, because the Bible says the day is coming when the Lord will split the eastern sky with his appearing, and we'll be changed, and by the way, everything else with it. Here are the words of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. It says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I cannot perform a graveside service without reading this passage of Scripture. Because so many have questions. Well, what happens to the righteous dead? The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, they are coming back with him. That means they are with him already. Can I get a witness? Because to be absent from the body is to be where? Amen. That's 2 Corinthians 5:8. 1 Corinthians 15:50 through 57 says, this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible is put on incorruption, and this mortal is put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, Hades, where's your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that victory today? Woo! Oh, I tell you, some might be listening saying, well, you're just preaching pie in the sky and the sweet by and by. I want to tell you something. The things that I know are true, not because I have some naively saccharine, sweet, sentimental feelings, but because I have the promises of God in black and white. Furthermore, because of what you have seen and heard in this place today, you cannot leave here and claim ignorance of what God's word says about the promise of salvation that has been set before you. Let me say, as the apostle Paul did in Acts chapter 20, verse 26, therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of those sitting here before me, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. You can neglect the words of this message. You can walk out of here as if you've never heard it preached, but I will not be held accountable for your blood. If you should find yourself in an eternal hell, accountable for your own sins, because you have heard the truth and your eternal destiny is in your hands and not mine. As for me, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1:12, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed unto him until that day. Can you say that this morning? Whoa. The only question that remains for you this morning is, are you up and coming? Are you on the way up to meet the Lord in the air? You can start now. You can be, yes, I'm an up and comer. Jesus has told me so. He's promised it in his wonderful word. If not, you're going to be standing before the Lord in your own righteousness someday. And that's pretty scary, because Romans 3:23 says all of us. Can I get a witness? All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But you can change that this morning. You can change your eternal destiny right now. You can proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior. You can say, I'm coming up with him. If you take God at his word, and if you will walk and say, yes, I will go through that open door that is Jesus. You can be an up-and-comer today if you listen and respond to that voice that's calling you to follow him to glory. You can come up with him today. You can be on the way. Just by saying, yes, from now on, I'm watching for Jesus. I'm waiting for his return. I'm looking for and watching for the unveiling of the things that are yet to come. If you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, rest assured, you can quit looking down at your feet and at the world all around you. Reset your focus of attention on the return of Christ. Lift your head up. Look ahead to what God has for you in Him. Why don't you stand up right now? Because I'm giving you a charge right this moment. Colossians 3, 1 through 4 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For if you're a Christian, it says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, you also will appear with Him in glory." Can I get a witness? Would you remain standing as we pray? Father, You've given us Your Word. Lord God, it troubles me, it pains me to think that anybody would leave here without an assurance that Kayla has in her heart today after saying, "Yes, I just want to follow Jesus." Dear God, we got no one else to go to. We got nowhere else to look. Everything else in this world is passing away as we are. God, You promised us that if we will give our lives to Christ, if we'll just trust You and put our faith and trust in You, that we shall never die. The body's going to perish, but our spirit never will. Lord, if there's anyone here without Jesus, don't let them leave that way. If there's one here who's never publicly professed their faith in Christ, Lord, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, You'd walk them down here to do that right now, because they're never going to have a better chance than these few moments that are before us. If there's one that's never, maybe they've asked You to come in their heart, but they've never gone public, they've never asked for baptism, and Lord, I pray they do that now. Lord, if there's one looking for a church, God, I thank You. They're not going to find a better one. We're all imperfect. But thank You, Lord, that we're an imperfect church with a perfect Savior to proclaim. Help them to determine that that's what they want to do with their lives. Let Your will be done. For we're asking it, and we're turning this time over to You now. Holy Spirit, do what only You do. In Jesus' name and amen. Connie, would you please lead us?
287.